In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching." This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
Good day, it's Father Tom, and I'm glad to be with you today. Today we're taking the conversion of St. Paul. And first of all, we're going to look at the letter to the Galatians, which tells us in Paul's language, in Paul's words, what happened. He says in the sixth verse, first chapter, "I am astonished that you are so quickly deserting the one who called you in the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel." What was happening? The Judaizers were coming in and saying, if you really want to be a Christian, you've got to be circumcised. Not that there is another gospel, it's the gospel of grace, but there are some who are confusing you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. But even if we are an angel from heaven, should proclaim to you a gospel contrary to what we proclaim to you, let that one be accursed. As we have said before, so now I repeat, if anyone proclaims to you the gospel contrary to the one that you received, let that one be accursed. Am I now seeking human approval or God's approval? Or am I trying to please people? If I was still pleasing people, I would not be a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. Then we go into Paul talking about his conversion. For I want you to know, brothers, that the gospel that was proclaimed by me is not of human origin. No, it's not. For I did not receive it from human sources, nor was I taught it, but I received it through a revelation. Where? On the Damascus Road. A revelation of Jesus Christ. You have heard no doubt of my earlier life in Judaism. I was violently persecuting the Church of God and was trying to destroy it. Why? Because the Christians were saying that Jesus Christ was the Messiah, and Paul read the Bible that said anyone who dies upon a tree is a curse. And so that's why he was so vehemently against Christianity. How could the curse Jesus be the Messiah? But later on, Paul says he became a curse, Jesus, so that we, you and I, might become the righteousness of God. I advanced in Judaism beyond many among my people of the same age, for I was far more zealous for the traditions of my ancestors. But when God, who set me apart like a prophet before I was born and called me through his grace, all about grace, he was pleased to reveal his son to me so that I might proclaim him among the Gentiles. I did not confer with any human being, nor did I go up to Jerusalem to those who were already apostles before me, but I went away at once into Arabia, and afterwards I returned to Damascus. Then after 3 years I did go up to Jerusalem to visit Peter or Cephas, and stayed there for 15 days. But I did not see any other apostle except James, the Lord's brother. In what I am writing you before God, I do not lie. Then I went into the regions of Syria and Cilicia, and I was still unknown by sight to the churches of Judea that are in Christ. They only heard it said, the one who formerly was persecuting us is now proclaiming the faith that he once tried to destroy. And they glorified God because of me. They glorified God because of me. By revelation, the Apostle Paul received who Jesus was and the gospel of Jesus, that we are saved not by our works, but we are saved by grace through faith, producing good works. It is all the grace of God. Paul is really the apostle of grace. He was killing Christians. We remember he put his thumbs down and said, kill Stephen, the deacon. And you know, the deacon Stephen forgave him, and this forgiveness brought about the conversion of Saul. This is real. This is real. What will your forgiveness do? What will my forgiveness do? It will bring about the conversion of people, starting with ourselves. And then going to the ninth chapter of Acts of the Apostles. Meanwhile, Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogues at Damascus, so that he might, if he found any belonging to the way is Christianity, men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. Now as he was going along and approaching Damascus, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. That's the Shekinah glory. That's the Kabod Yahweh. He fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? He asked, Who are you, Lord? The reply came, I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. Now this is very interesting, because Paul never laid eyes on Jesus, but to persecute Christians was to persecute the Lord. And from this statement, he comes up with the body of Christ as a head and members, that we are members of the body of Christ, and we have one head, his name is Jesus. But get up and enter the city, and you will be told what you are to do. The men who were traveling with Saul stood speechless because they heard the voice but saw no one. Saul got up from the ground, and though his eyes were open, he could not see anything. So they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. For 3 days he was without sight and neither ate nor drank. So I tell you, the glory of God blinded St. Paul. The glory of God blinded St. Paul and revealed to him the gospel, that we are not saved by our works, but by grace through faith, and that it's all about Jesus Christ. It's about his death, burial, and resurrection. This was a revelation that was revealed to Saul on the Damascus Road. We need to have experiences of revelation. This morning I got up at 5 o'clock and the Lord spoke to me and said, don't forget to read Galatians, which Paul tells in his own words how he was converted. So I did that at the beginning. Now there was a disciple in Damascus named Ananias. The Lord said to him in a vision, Ananias, he answered, Here I am, Lord. The Lord said to him, Get up and go to the street called Straight Street, and at the house of Judas look for a man of Tarsus named Saul. At this moment he is praying, and you are seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in and laying his hands on him so that he might regain his sight. And Ananias is scared. He knows this is the guy that persecuted people that were of the Lord. But Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard from many about this man, how much evil he has done to your saints in Jerusalem. And here he has authority from the chief priest to bind all who invoke your holy name. But the Lord said to him, Go, for he is an instrument whom I have chosen to bring my name before the Gentiles. We know that Saul brought the gospel to the Gentiles and kings before the people of Israel. I myself will show him how much he had to suffer for the sake of my name. That's persecution. So Ananias went and entered the house. He laid his hands on Saul and said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the way, has sent me so that you might regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. It took courage of Ananias that Saul was converted. And immediately something like scales fell from his eyes and his sight was restored. Then he got up and was baptized, and after taking some food, he regained his strength. For several days he was in the district of Damascus, and immediately he began to proclaim Jesus in the synagogue, saying, "He is the Son of God." Do you know that? That Jesus is the Son of God. God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made. All who heard him were amazed and said, "Is this not the man who made havoc in Jerusalem among those who invoked the name of the Lord? And has he not come here for the purpose of bringing them bound into the chief priests?" Saul became increasingly more powerful and confounded the Jews who lived in Damascus by proving that Jesus was the Messiah. See, again, Saul was so adamant that the scripture said, "Cursed is the man who dies upon a cross," that he wanted to kill Christians. He put his thumbs down for Stephen. He gets letters of recommendation to put people who have the way, that's what it was called then, not Christians, who have the way, into jail. But in the midst of all this, the Lord Jesus appeared to him. The Shekinah glory blinded him. He was in the presence of God. After some time had passed, the Jews plotted to kill him, but their plot became known to Saul. They were watching the gates day and night so that they might kill him. But his disciples took him by night and let him down through an opening in the wall, lowering him in a basket. The Jews plotted to kill Jesus. The Lord said he was going to suffer. He was going to suffer that the Jews want to kill him. Why? Because he's proclaiming Jesus. When he had come to Jerusalem, he attempted to join the disciples, and they were all afraid of him, because they remember what he was doing. He was killing Christians, killing people on the way. For they did not believe that he was a disciple. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles and described for them how on the road he had seen the Lord who had spoken to him, and how in Damascus he had spoken boldly in the name of Jesus. So he went in and out among them in Jerusalem, speaking boldly in the name of the Lord. He spoke and argued with the Greeks that they were attempting to kill him. When the believers learned of it, they brought him down to Caesarea and sent him off to Tarsus. Meanwhile, the church throughout Judea and Galilee and Samaria had peace and was built up, living in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit. We need that fear of the Lord. We need that comfort of the Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit, comfort your people this day. What you did to Paul, do to your people today. Gently move in your presence to people, that they would feel your presence, that they would know your presence, that they would surrender their lives to you. All of us, starting with me. Living in fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit, it increased in numbers. Now as Peter went here and there among all the believers, he came down also to the saints living in Lydda. There he found a man named Aeneas, who had been bedridden for 8 years, for he was paralyzed. Peter said to him, "Aeneas, Jesus Christ heals you. Get up and make your bed." Immediately he got up. And all the residents of Lydda and Sharon saw him and turned to the Lord. Yes, a great miracle. They knew him as a paralyzed man. And Peter said, "Jesus heals you." The word of God, he declared it. Jesus heals you. Yesterday we prayed for healing over the radio waves. And Jesus heals some people. I know it. They have to let me know. But he heals people when we declare healing. Now in Joppa there was a disciple whose name was Tabitha, which in Greek is Dorcas. She was devoted to good works and acts of charity. At that time she became ill and died, when they washed her, they laid her in a room upstairs, which Lydda was near Joppa. And disciples who heard that Peter was there sent two men to him with the request, "Please come down to us without delay." So Peter got up and went with them. And when he arrived, they took him to the room upstairs where the woman laid. All the widows stood beside him, weeping and showing tunics and other clothing that Dorcas had made while she was with them. Peter put them all outside, and then he knelt down and prayed. He turned to the body and said, "Tabitha, get up." Then she opened her eyes, and seeing Peter, she sat up. He gave her his hand and helped her up. Then calling the saints and widows, he showed her to be alive. This became known throughout Joppa, and many believed in the Lord. I tell you, he raised the dead just like Jesus raised Lazarus. Oh yes, the Lord says, "I'm going to leave you the gifts that the Father has given me, and even greater gifts will you do, because I go to the Father." Meanwhile, he stayed in Joppa for some time with a certain Simon the Tanner. This is interesting because tanning was unkosher. What have we learned so far? We've learned that God had his eye upon Saul of Tarsus, and that his eye was there to convert him so that he would become an apostle, one who had seen the risen Lord. It happened on the road to Damascus. While he was going to destroy Christians because they said that Jesus was the Lord, and Saul knew that anyone who dies upon a tree that was Jesus is a curse. And so he went out to kill Christians and put them in jail. And in the midst of that, the light of God, the Shekinah glory, shone all around Saul. And a voice came from heaven, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" He says, "Who are you, Lord?" He says, "I am Jesus whom you persecute." I tell you, if you persecute a Christian, you are persecuting Jesus himself, and that means you're in trouble. That means you're in trouble. You do not want to persecute people. You do not want to hurt people. You want to love people. We are called to love people. Paul was designated as a prophet, that God called him before he was conceived in his mother's womb. And Saul went about to Damascus preaching in the synagogue, saying that Jesus is the Son of God. All who heard him were amazed and said, "Is this not the man who made havoc in Jerusalem because of those who invoked his name? And has he not come here for the purpose of bringing them bound before the chief priests?" Saul became increasingly more powerful and confounded the Jews who lived in Damascus by proving that Jesus was the Messiah. Do you know that Jesus is the Christ? Do you know that Jesus is the Messiah? Do you know that we are waiting for his coming in glory as the judge of the living and the dead? Do you know that? Do you know that Jesus, who gave revelation to Saul on the road to Damascus, wants to give you revelation? Wants to give me revelation? What does revelation mean? Taking the veil off of our eyes so that we can see clearly. Oh yes, Saul had a revelation of Jesus. He saw him and he heard his voice. You know, Saul could have said, "I've never laid eyes upon you, Jesus." But Jesus said, "You are persecuting me. Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? Who are you, Lord?" "I am Jesus whom you persecute." Persecuting the Christians, persecuting Christ. Do not persecute people. For in persecuting people, you will be persecuting the Jesus. You will be persecuting the ones that belong to God. Do not let yourself persecute anyone. This is very interesting because this is the turnaround for the church, because Saul will go to the Jewish synagogues first. They will throw him out, and then he will go to the Gentiles, and they will listen to him. The Lord said there's much that he has to suffer, and the suffering had to do with persecution. They had to let him down in a basket so that he wouldn't be killed. This is amazing. This is amazing. He ends up in Rome in a little house by the sea, and he preaches to the people that come to visit him. This is Saul of Tarsus, who becomes Paul, the great apostle to the Gentiles. Chapter 10 of the Acts. In Caesarea, there was a man named Cornelius, a centurion of the Italian cohort, as it was called. He was a devout man who feared God with all of his household. So this Cornelius was a devout man who feared God with all his household. He gave alms generously to the people and prayed constantly to God. One afternoon at about 3 o'clock in the afternoon, he had a vision in which he clearly saw an angel of God coming in and saying to him, "Cornelius." He stared at him in terror and said, "What is it, Lord?" He answered, "Your prayers and your alms have ascended as a memorial before God." Not only your prayers, but the money you've given to the poor has ascended as a memorial before God. "Now send men to Joppa for a certain Simon who is called Peter. He is lodging with Simon the tanner, whose house is by the seaside." When the angel who spoke to him had left, he called two of his slaves and a devout soldier from the ranks of those who served him, and after telling them everything, he sent them to Joppa. He's asking that Peter would come to the house and preach the gospel of truth, the gospel of grace. About noon the next day, as they were on their journey and approaching the city, Peter went up on the roof to pray. He became hungry and wanted something to eat, and while it was being prepared, he fell into a trance. He saw the heavens opened and something like a large sheet coming down, being lowered to the ground by its four corners. In it were all kinds of unkosher food, four-footed creatures, reptiles, birds of the air. Then he heard a voice saying, "Peter, get up and eat." But Peter said, "By no means, Lord, I have never eaten anything that is profane or unclean." The voice said to him again a second time, "What God has made clean, you must not call profane." This happened three times, and the thing was suddenly taken up to heaven. Now, what does this all mean? Downstairs is going to be a man coming to request that Peter come to the house of Cornelius. This man is a Gentile. He is not a Jew. He is unclean. Yet God is calling Peter to go and preach to the unclean people, and by making them clean through the blood of Jesus as they give their lives to Jesus. This is so important, this vision that St. Peter had, that this tells about the whole house of Cornelius being converted, even though they were Gentiles. We will finish it tomorrow. "The angel of the Lord declared unto Mary, and she conceived of the Holy Spirit. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Behold the handmaid of the Lord. Let it be done unto me according to your word. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. I do need to hear from people so that we can pay our bills. I want you to know that I am not paid. I just proclaim the gospel by the grace of God, in season and out of season, when convenient and inconvenient. And you know, sometimes it's very inconvenient to preach, but God has called me to do it, whether I feel it or not, because it is the truth, it is the truth, it is the truth. So if you can, go to www.inseason.net and go to PayPal and leave a donation. www.inseason.net, go to PayPal and leave a donation. May the Lord bless you and keep you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. God bless you.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Please make a note of it. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. That new address again is Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And be sure to listen again next time for In Season and Out of Season.